Let's take our Bibles, look together at 1 Samuel chapter 24. I want to read from verse 9 down to verse 15 and speak with you about the Lord being the judge. The Lord be judge. 1 Samuel 24. Remember, David had been in the cave with Saul, but Saul didn't realize it. Saul had risen up and gone out of the cave and started on his way. Verse 7, David remained in quietly with his servants, even though they wanted to kill him. They could have, you say that, but they couldn't have because God hadn't purposed it. Took that away. It says in verse 8 that David also rose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul. The indication here would have been that they let him get a little way down the ways where he was headed before they called out to him, saying, "My Lord the King." Again, notice little L-O-R-D. This is not putting any king in the place of God, but it's recognizing that respect that the scriptures say to have unto those that are in authority, good, bad, or ugly. Romans 13 says, the powers that be are of God. And so, even in that, David commended himself to the Lord and addressed Saul with respect, "My Lord, the King." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. There again, it wasn't in the purpose of worshiping Saul. We don't worship any man. But giving him that respect. And David said to Saul, "Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt?" Remember, as we studied the word there in 1 Peter 3, I mentioned that it wasn't Abel that sought the hurt of Cain. It was Cain who sought Abel's hurt. Many times the world will cast aspersions on the Lord's people and attribute to them evil when there is none, just because you won't identify with them in their ways or their religion or worship. The Lord has separated us out. But in that, they'll find evil. And so the rumor was that it was David that was seeking the hurt of Saul. In verse 10, "Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee. But mine eye spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." Now again, going through here, we see parallels between David's conduct and our Lord. Our Lord stood before kings, and he had the power to destroy them instantly, had he so chosen, but he did not. When it says that he came and was subject to the law, it wasn't only the law of God, but the laws of men. Now, there were some in his day that sought to overthrow the king, just like here, these servants of David said, "Well, let's get this thing done. Let's just overthrow it, and then we'll be at peace." And the Lord told them they didn't know what spirit they were of, thinking that way. Honor to whom honor is due. And waiting on the Lord. David knew that the day would come when the Lord would remove Saul, but that was not his to do. We live in a generation where life is not valued. If it's an unborn child, kill it. It doesn't matter. Get it out of the way if it's inconvenient. That's the way men think. Or if you don't like what someone's doing, shoot and kill them. That's the natural mind. It's reprobate sinners taking into their hands a judgment that belongs unto God alone. Moreover, verse 11, you notice, he says, my Father. Now, in this society, I know in Africa it's the same way. If you're younger than somebody, then they're as your father. You treat them as you would your father. Again, with respect. Moreover, my Father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. He's just pretty much saying, that's how close I came to you. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. You see a parallel there with our Lord Jesus Christ as well. They sought him unto death, but for what cause do you seek to kill me, other than that they hated him? They hated that glory that the Father purposed that he should have. And that in of itself represents what we are by nature as sinners. We would be the same. In fact, when they cried, crucify him, crucify him, those were our representatives who were crying that. I know some people say, if I'd have been there, I wouldn't. Oh yeah, you would have. Left to ourselves, we are at enmity with this Christ of Scripture. For what reason? Know thou and see that there is neither in mine. That's what was in his hand. Those sheep that the Father had given. It was from them he came. The rest, he was ruling and overruling anyway. Even though he was in the flesh, yet he was God. That's the mystery of godliness. Raising up and putting down. The Pilates, the Herods, all of that. To where in Acts it says they couldn't do one thing more or less than what God had before determined should be done. I'm thankful it's that way. And here's the verse from which now the title of this message, verse 12. The Lord judge between me and thee. And the Lord avenge me of thee. So in other words, David recognizes that in reality, he was the true blessed one. But let the Lord manifest that in his time. But mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked. But mine hand shall not be upon thee. There's wickedness that God sees every day. We get all riled up when we see some little injustice. We think, well, I just can't stand injustice. Can you imagine? That means you can't stand yourself. Because as God sees us, apart from Christ, that's all we are is wickedness. Wickedness proceedeth from the wicked. We like to attribute it to society or what's out there in the world, but it proceeds from the wicked. I was driving the other day thinking about how peaceful the world is if you just take man out of it. Stop and consider. If the Lord would take every sinful creature from this world, there'd be no more sin. Where does wickedness derive but from the wicked? In other words, in this heart. Heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? But mine hand shall not be upon thee. In other words, David's saying, I'll not judge you or be your judge. That's God shall avenge me of thee. That's what the Lord said there in the New Testament. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. See, we have to be careful when it comes to dealing with other sinners whom perhaps the Lord has not yet taught, because they might just be the Lord's. Now in Saul's case, we know he wasn't, because the word was clear. This Saul, but you think about the Saul of the New Testament, same tribe of Benjamin, and yet a remnant according to election of grace. And even though he, for a while, went and breathed out persecution, hatred toward those who named the name of Christ, yet he was the Lord's all along. His own testimony in Galatians 1 is that he had been separated from his mother's womb In other words, God's hand was upon him in grace, even with all of that path of violence and persecution and blasphemy. But then he says, and called according to the grace of God. There's that time where those that are the Lord's, for whom Christ paid a debt, he does call. He takes them from where they are and puts them in Christ by faith. And so that's why we have to be careful. You never know how the Lord's going to deal. But it's the Lord's to deal with either way. Christ said that in John 17. He thanked the Father that the Father had given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life unto as many as the Father had given him. In verse 14, after whom is the King of Israel going to come out? For whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? Here we see David even more humbling himself in front of Saul. Even if you were to grab me and to kill me, what is it? A dead dog? A flea? Is that's what's got you going? Because that's all we are. If someone were to take us out, they haven't killed an innocent victim. That term is thrown around today. Well, that was an innocent person. There's no innocent people. This trial was over at the fall of Adam. We come forth from the womb speaking lies, the scripture says. But again, here it is, verse 15. The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see, and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. Now when you connect this with what we read just earlier in 1 Peter chapter 2, this all makes sense now. We read in 1 Peter 3, but when you get back to 1 Peter 2, in verses 22 to 24, this is exactly what our Lord did. David is a type of our Lord here. That it says, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Committed himself. That's what David's doing here in verse 15. The Lord therefore be judge. Committing himself to him who judges righteously. And judge between me and thee. If you have a concordance and look that word judge up, it's an interesting word. It could mean a sovereign ruler, and that God is. But it also has the meaning of a defense or an advocate. Because you see the word between me and thee? Just as it says in verse 12, the Lord judge between me and thee. This is that umpire that Job saw that could in one way put his hand upon Job and then at the same time, put his hand upon God to be that umpire. And David here is really looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because David, just by his own admission there in verse 14, knew himself to be nothing but a dead dog or a flea, a worm. Those that are the Lord's that he's taught by his Spirit of grace, they don't have problems with those terms. That they acknowledge what they are. The Spirit of grace teaches them so. But there is an advocate, what David is saying here, the Lord himself, who is that advocate between me and thee. In essence, and you have to think about it, David knew that God had taken the kingdom from Saul, but nowhere do we read that he saw Saul as a reprobate at this point. Perhaps in his heart and mind, as long as a person is still alive, there's some hope that God might yet show thee mercy, Saul, even as he has me. But either way, he says it'll be the Lord, as we saw in verse 12, that will avenge me of thee. if you pursue me to your death, yet it will be the Lord that will avenge me as my advocate. And David is a type of Christ. I truly believe this is how our Lord went to that cross, knowing that though he was to lay down his life and die, that the Father would find acceptance in that death and raise him up. And in essence, justify him. Because when he rose from that grave, he was justified in the sight of all those that put him to death, that he was indeed who he says he was. And so, even as the Father was the advocate of the Son, because God the Father's eye was upon his Son as that representative of those people that he came to save. And so complete was that work that the Son accomplished that the Father raised him from the grave. That's the judging righteously of which we read here in 1 Peter chapter 2. Committed himself to him that judged the righteous. When Christ died, it wasn't any man took his life. He commended his spirit to his Father, knowing that the Father would raise him again from the grave. But in that we find comfort ourselves, if we're the Lord's, that we have an advocate, that regardless of what men may do unto us, and yes, it may be that some would take our life, and yet in the end, God is going to be true to his Son. In other words, if he paid my debt, he's going to raise this body again. That's the idea here of the Lord, therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee. But we see in this example of David how our Lord himself dealt with these things. When falsely accused of evil, just like David here in verse 9, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Or when opportunity was given to avenge. See, our Lord himself, it's because he didn't come to judge the world that he didn't condemn the world. He came to save those that the Father had given. And so did not seek to avenge himself, what we would call revenge. There was no revenge with the Lord. Even when, in verse 14, there's no repentance. See, we're conditions. We say, okay, I can forgive you if. Verse 14, David said, after whom is the king of Israel come out? Even though Saul continued to pursue him, and David knew he would continue even after this, yet the statement was true, the Lord therefore be judge. And judge between me and thee. That's what Paul wrote about there in Romans 8, that there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So complete is that work. That if God be for us, who can be against us? And I'm saying this for your encouragement. I'm saying it for mine. Because we can get flying around because we're like that flea. People can chase you around. You can jump up and go from here to there. Almost as if we did not know God. Fear overtakes us. And our minds are completely turned away from the Lord. But even in that, the Lord judge between me and thee. In other words, plead my cause. You see that in verse 15? And see and plead my cause and deliver me out of thine hand. Our Lord was delivered out of the hands of his enemies. They thought by putting him to death that they had him. But the Father raised him from the grave. Who is it that pleads our cause before men? Well, it's the same Lord who came, lived, died, and rose again and ascended on high. So may the Lord be pleased to give us his spirit. You notice in 1 Peter 2 that we read, I know Christ is a substitute, and he paid the sin debt that we might be saved, and that was accomplished at the cross. But you notice how it's it's put here in verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, what? Leaving us an example. If you want an example of the grace of God, an example of what it is to commend yourself to Him who judges righteously, then we have it here in our Lord Jesus Christ. He was reviled. He was accused of being a seditious man. They spoke of him as a deceiver. He was charged with being in league with Beelzebub, who is none other than Satan himself, the prince of the devils, and condemned as a blasphemer against God. That's amazing. He was reviled. He was reviled by the influential of the land, just like Saul here reviling David. He was reviled in a public manner. Their design was to alienate his friends from him, or to cut him off in any way that they could. Such is the hatred that is in the heart of man, even as we see Saul's toward David, such as ours toward Christ. When you think about that and think that that's our nature, how great must be then the mercy of God? How great must be his grace that he should save a wretch like me? That's a term we don't hear today, isn't it? Wretch. Sinner. Blasphemer. Abomination. There's no words that can express enough our own sin before the Lord. We take it, we accept it. And there's no words that can aptly describe his glory as the King, the Advocate, and the Judge. But I'm thankful it's in his hands, aren't you?